I mean, that's fine. Ow. You know, the thing about wearing this hat everywhere, is that you forget about it sometimes, and you forget that your head effectively now sticks out an extra 5 inches in front. And so I'm constantly whacking the hat into the microphone, which in turn whacks the hat down into my scalp, which in turn makes me scream. Hello there. It's 58 seconds after the hour of 12, and this the month of October in the year of our Lord, 2006. Thank you for coming by, making it part of your listening day. We are live from the plushly appointed yet not overly ostentatious studios of AM 970. Solid State Radio. This is the Rick Emerson radio program. It's 503-733-2970. A little bit of salad gristle there?
It was the celery.
Okay.
So they're in there now.
All the musical acts?
Mm-hmm.
Are we sure that they're all in there? I think there's people still lurking in the... No, there's the manager still lurking in the hallway. I don't wish to be unkind. Not where anybody can hear me. No, it's fine. I don't want to poke. Anyway, I'll poke fun here in a minute. I know this doesn't make any sense right now if you're listening. It all makes sense in a couple seconds. It's 503-733-2970. You can also email us, rick@rickemerson.com and so forth. If you'd like to engage with us electronically in any fashion. All right, we'll get Chris here in a second. We'll lay out the general path and direction of today's program. It's just, Sarah's eating a salad right now, and here's the thing. You lean back, and I swear to God, for all the world, you look like one of those reptiles on the Discovery Channel where the jaw just kind of goes and unhinges.
Oh, whatever.
And it's, watch.
Yourself, because you probably ate something really fattening.
As the fierce raptor consumes an entire antelope. I mean, I know it's only salad that you're eating. It was just the angle. It was as though you were tilting your head back so you could put an entire guinea pig down your mouth at once.
Thanks, Rick. Once again, you always make me sound so attractive.
I'm just saying, it's radio. No, it's theater of the mind. No, it's... But you are eating a salad, at least, as opposed to what I had for... Not,
see, I knew that you were lashing out because you probably ate something really bad for you.
I'm not lashing out. Shut your mouth!
When did you eat?
When? Are we talking last night or are we talking this morning?
Either or.
Pick one.
This morning.
Oh, God. You don't even want to know from this morning. So this morning, I got to a whole chain reaction where I got to bed kind of late. And I've talked about this before, where I have to do all my crap the night before, because in the morning I'm just a zombie. I wake up and I just walk around the house, and I'm not able to form sentences. I get 1 foot in front of the other is a challenge for me. I mean, it had nothing to do with the caffeine. I'm just not a morning person, which is why when we had been over at Entercom and they'd shoved us to that 9 a.m. to noon slot, it was just such a goddamn disaster. I mean, it was just such an abortion on every front.
A program of three listeners. it was like doing a show in your bedroom as a 10-year-old. You knew there was nobody there.
Following a program with one listener.
Except the guy with a dust mop in the hallway.
I mean, I think it's sidetracked, but I mean, we were...
There's worse. You could be doing news during the Ima show.
I was just going to say.
Cobwebs.
That's what I was going to point out. At least I didn't have to be there for Ima. Supports him. Well, I guess I'll get to work at 4:30 in the morning.
Another day at the morgue.
when no one is listening. And you're right, you know, in radio, I've talked to Tim Savage about this, you know, because this is a weekend show here. And it's not that nobody listens to the weekends, but the weekends, there's a smaller audience of people. There's no 4 a.m., especially during the summertime months, 4 p.m. on a Saturday, you have a diminished audience from what you might have at, like, noon on a Tuesday. And we talked about this. There are days, I don't know what it is. It's not like, I'm not saying it's like a psychic thing or whatever. I mean, we all do superstitious about it. But there are days you can come in, and not days so much as certain radio stations where I've worked and I know where Tim has worked, where you just know there's nobody out there. You just come in, you realize that you could just turn on the microphone and just sort of... And just sit and just make... And no one would notice. Stay off the air for hours. Nobody... Like,
when you go from a rock station to playing Eddie Fisher at Oh My Papa, and the phone never rings again. Ever.
It's so true.
Your picture vanishes from the billboard. Your car is repossessed within 3 months. It's over.
Aw.
Theoretically speaking, of course. But we were over to Entercom, and I do have a point here. I'm going to find my way back to this whole thing about my food. Well, we'd be at Entercom, and... Look, I don't mean to sit and just continue. Intercom's having enough problems right now.
Oh, really?
Well,
they have a lot of empty space.
I'm just saying. A lot of empty space in the audience, too. look, so I don't mean to be kicking sand on the faces of those who cannot defend themselves. But let me just ask you, when's the last time you went anywhere and you heard that oldie station playing? The answer would be never.
Never. In the tanning salon I went to, used to play it all the time. Now they've switched to K-Hits.
They switched to K-Hits. And you know what? I'm not really the demographic.
Well, it's a better station anyway.
That it really is. And I'm not saying this because it's part of the same company. You know, they work next door to CBS, but it's a great station. K-Hits does a really good, because there's just, I mean, really, everybody has heard The Lion Sleeps Tonight. Enough! I mean, everybody, they're done. They're finished with that. And so, everybody, you know, the stations that were listening, the people that were listening to KISS, they're gone. They're all listening to KISS. So that station is just, it's like, you close your eyes, you can hear, like, the sun-bleached yak skull just sitting in the middle of an open plain there. There's no one. They had this brilliant idea that they were going to take Tim from off, because Tim used to do the news on our show and then it'd like it.
Unlike
you know,
it.
Where people listen. Where people listen. Where there's actually people tuning in, and not by accident. Not like looking for something else.
It was well thought out before that schedule was made up.
there was actually logic behind it. Not so at Intercom. Their idea was, here, let's, what's that I Miss show in the morning? Does anybody listen to that? No? Let's put Tim Riley there. And so they yanked him off of Lycus, and they put him in Imus, where no one is listening. And the people who are listening, to Imus couldn't possibly care less about the kind of news that Tim is broadcasting, because the people who listen to Imus are just, I mean, it's just people sitting there waiting to, it's just people, it's a whole lot of the Imus audience is a whole lot of people. They're the same people who probably TiVo his MSNBC show, which is basically like watching one of those, that thing in Big where he puts a quarter in the machine and the weird wooden animatronic gypsy comes to life and your fondest wishes will come, and then just the quarter runs out and he just falls asleep again. That's what IMIS is like. And then Bernie has to go over and like kick him in the side to get him awake again.
Hey, so what'd you have for breakfast?
Well, so my point here is that, yes, we functioned badly at Intercom, A, because they mangled the entire morning lineup, and then they put us on the 9 a to noon, as we say, or 9 a to 12 p, where we functioned poorly, where I functioned poorly because I am not a morning person. So
I find you doubly poorly after 4 hours of boredom.
and you're sitting there. That's the worst part. When you have to come in and you prepare news and you prepare structure and content that you know no one's going to hear. You know what I mean? It's like I won't mention names. But
and then you have a board op that wants to talk to you constantly on the intercom. Please, leave me alone. I don't want to be bothered. I don't care about your personal problems.
When you're trying to work and constantly in your headset.
Did you see the Blazers game last night?
No, I'm trying to prepare my news.
It was fantastic. Let me tell you in excruciating detail about every gripping moment of every three-point shot.
All right, fine. I'll be over here hanging a noose on the ceiling. I won't name names here, but we're about to find that when we were doing Bigger Than Jesus, which had a pretty successful run, had a pretty good turnout for that. We were happy with that. Joni and I were studying some other one-man shows that had done, some other one-man stage performances, and we watched a videotape, and I won't say who it is. It's nobody anybody really knows, but I won't mention. But we were watching a videotape of a one-man show that had been performed elsewhere by somebody where I swear to God, and this is in Los Angeles, no exaggeration, there were 9 people who showed up. 9 people, and it's a guy on stage for like 2 hours in a theater that holds 600 people. There are 9 people in the crowd.
That would be me every Sunday night for many, many years.
And so that was Tim every morning trying to do the news during Imus. Just a whole lot of, I'm Tim Riley, Riley, Riley.
So what'd you have for dinner?
So my point is that we're not morning people. And so I especially have had to, I've taken to laying out, it sounds like I'm a school child, but I lay out my clothes, my lunch, all that stuff. I get it done the night before so that when I wake up in the morning, the only thing I do in the morning is, you know, I shower, I shave, and then I'm out. You know, I got my clothes all laid out. I got my lunch in a bag, in the refrigerator. Grab it as I'm on the way out the door. I prepare everything the night before. But it is sort of a terrible chain reaction sometimes, where if I get home late or if I'm, I get home and I got other stuff to do, I don't get my dinner in time, and then I don't get lunch made in time, and then the next morning comes and I'm too asleep to make it, and so I get here and I got to eat whatever that guy sells at the convenience store downstairs. And what he was selling at the convenience store downstairs today are these croissant sandwiches. Which is a croissant, which is like the single worst kind of bread.
Sell other things there.
Yeah, but everything else, it's a convenience service. Everything else is like $9. And none of it's healthy for you anyway. That's the thing, is it's like, there's nothing.
No, you totally, there's a huge, like, fresh sandwich section that's only, they cost like $2.50.
That's what I'm talking about there. But those are not healthy. That the so-called, fresh just means it's not deep fried.
It's not better than a croissant sandwich.
Well, yeah, but the croissant sandwiches were on sale. Well, they were small, so I had to eat two. So that's me this morning. Two croissant sandwiches, like, stuffed with cheese and ham. Which wouldn't have been so bad had my dinner last night not consisted of going through the drive-thru at Arby's. Which I don't really do. I do that, like, twice a year. I mean, it's sort of like a Christmas and Easter Catholic kind of a thing.
Is that actual food? I'll get a thing five for $5.
It's a food-like substance. It's
Oh, the roast beef sandwiches are good.
That's what I got. I got a roast beef sandwich and then also like a
cow.
All like a chicken. It's from a cow-like
product.
And
you got curly fries too, didn't you?
It's from cow with a K. Arby's. Made from genuine cow.
Meat. M-E-T.
Totally. But I got the whatever, the barbecue sandwich or whatever the hell, and then like a chicken thing wrapped in bacon, you know, and then they just deep fry the whole thing, and then they roll it in lard and sawdust, and then they deep fry it again, and then they wrap it in a tire and give it to you. That's it. So that's what I had for dinner last night, and it's one of those things where, look, and I don't mean to knock that kind of food, but it's where you don't really feel the effect until the next morning. And if I had just had the Arby's for dinner last night, if I had not followed up with two croissant sandwiches this morning, and so today I just got that whole...
Okay.
No, you asked. I'm trying to explain everything in detail.
In the commercial, the chicken and the pig are dancing together.
Right before the chicken asks you to eat him. You know what's disturbing? We were talking yesterday about anthropomorphized food, where the food is asking to be eaten. You can eat right out of my head, says the popcorn bucket. You know what's bizarre is that the Chick-fil-A ads, where they have the cow, and the cow is... Isn't that the thing? Is it the cow that has the sign that says, eat more chicken, and it's all misspelled, and it looks all creepy, and the letters are all backward? That's just disturbing. Anyway, so that's it. So, man, so I got the whole bloating going on today. So if we hear at any point just sort of like a generalized sort of jello-like sloshing around behind the microphone, that's probably what it is. Don't you worry about it, though.
All right. 11 minutes to find out you ate two croissant sandwiches.
You know, you're being kind of snippy today. I'm just trying to answer your question.
You're a little babbly.
I'm a little babbly today. Yes. I'm sorry. I didn't really...
No, you just... I'm really trying to eat better, and then you start off the show by making fun of me for eating a salad just because you feel bad about yourself.
I wasn't making fun of you for eating a salad. No, it was just like you were going after it like it was the cure for cancer. It was great, actually. Just putting it in... Which is not a thing that I'm faulting you for. That's a thing that you do in radio. You eat fast, you pee fast. That's what you... Things going in of your body and things going out of your body, it's... this is true. You learn to either ingest or... evacuate very quickly. Howard does this. I don't know if you've ever read his book, but Howard talks about how he had, because he's obsessive compulsive, and Howard has this whole routine where every morning he eats the same thing during his show, and it's a baked potato wrapped in turkey, and he talks about how he's only got, he eats two of them, one at like whatever, like 7 and one at like 9, and he has the intern microwave the baked potato wrapped in turkey, and that's all he eats because he's like a calorie count. He's like us, and so he's a freak about it, and he has like a, you know, whatever, like a 9-minute commercial break to get this whole thing done. And so he talks about the steaming hot potato wrapped in turkey coming out of the microwave, which is actually scalding on the inside, which he then shoves into his mouth. So he, and he said he can now get it down in 3 bites. He's got it to where he can now get like an entire potato wrapped in turkey scalding hot out of the microwave, swallowed and down in 3 bites. But the problem is he's got such long hair that he always ends up ingesting several long strands of hair along with it. So we're not alone. It is a radio thing, I think.
It's true.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show our good friend, Mailman.
Postman is the person in your neighborhood.
Hello, sir. How are you today?
I am good. And yourself?
I'm fantastic. I'm a little bloated.
How's Project Genesis going?
Project what?
Genesis.
Project.
You know, like Star Trek 2, where they They have the vast wasteland of unused space, and they feed it with...
Oh, it's a hair reference, isn't it? No. No, it's going okay, actually. I'm back to my normal. I'm back to the I no longer have to do, like, the weird twice a day, like, special shampooing ritual and everything. Back to my normal thing. Now, it's just waiting for it to grow. That's the thing. Just waiting for it to be long enough. Because it's still like I got the crew cut. But, again, it's only in the middle. It's like a hawk mo thing. It's not mohawk, but it's shaved down the middle. Sides are still normal. As long as the hat stays on, it's all fine. So,
what hat are we wearing today?
Today we're just wearing the Lowe's hat again because I don't know whether it's that the hats are real small or whether my head is real big. But I've discovered that I can't wear a great number of the hats that have been dropped off for me. Although I got my beanie today. Did I bring... No, it's back at my desk. I got a beanie from our good friends in Stone Creek today.
Does it have a propeller on top?
What's that?
Does it have a...
No, it doesn't have a little puffball either. But I do have to wear it at some point to show... Because the last time I went to see Stone Creep, which is great, because there's this really loud, like, straight from the depths of hell metal band. But I went to see them at the Hollywood Theaters a while back, and they're playing... They're shrieking loud, riding on the wings of Valhalla metal, while the lead singer has a shirt that says, Tim Riley is my God, in big letters. So it's great. So I feel like I owe them at this point. So I got to wear their hat in public at some point. All right, here we got today. We got Lisa Goddard is going to be joining us today. Another pair of Al Gore tickets. We'll find out what happens when you combine roofing, a nail gun, and your scrotum. Let's see. A news story containing the following phrase, and we'll try to get to this in the lunch hour. Her charred legs were found inside the oven.
Isn't that Paul McCartney's ex-wife?
No, that'd just be leg anyway. No, but man, we were way ahead of the curve on that. I heard Stephanie Miller was talking about that for like 20 minutes this morning. Again, with the crawling and the bedpan and the stabbing and these breasts of mine. So we've got that. Aaron got me the Weekend Geek kind of late, but I didn't play yesterday anyway. So we've got a special holiday edition of the Weekend Geek as we head towards Aaron's wedding this weekend and Halloween. So we will do that. That's what's on the agenda today, my friend.
Okay, so we got Lisa Goddard giving away some Al Gore tickets, roofing, nail gun, and your scrotum.
Well, not mine, but I mean your scrotum in a sort of collective sense.
Okay.
I had to pause to make that adjustment. Yes.
Charred legs in the oven.
Yes.
And we can geek.
Yes, it is. It is absolutely true. That's what we're going to get, my friend.
And you're 55 today?
Of course. Of course I am. All right.
We'll talk to you brief.
Excellent. Thank you. There you go. Mailman Chris, ladies and gentlemen. All right. Joined today, as are we always, by the lovely and talented Sarah Stone. I wouldn't say anything bad about your eating habits. I really wasn't. Is it you had an especially large piece of lettuce?
No, it was a pepper.
And you okay, and you were just determined to get it all in one bite. That was just, I understand how that goes.
Okay.
Nobody can see you here, baby.
I know, they can see me, though. That band keeps staring in here at us.
So we're right next door to KUPL 98.7, the biggest hits, the biggest stars. Wait, hold on, let me check the hallway. Hold on. All right, flip this clip. So here's the thing.
The manager's sitting right there.
Yeah, so this week, we're like, as everybody knows, we got to get
they're probably listening to us in there right now.
We're right between K-Hits and Couple, which is a country station, and there's some band in there. Do we know what the band is? Do we know who they are?
No.
I think it's probably what they call a baby act, which is just something where it's not like the Dixie Chicks or Toby Keith or somebody. It's just some smaller, some band that's on the, that's, you know, they're on the upward climb.
Smokey's writing it on a piece of paper.
Is he? Okay, so there's some band. But they were out in the hallway here practicing. And don't get me wrong, I don't mean to knock it. I think it's kind of cool. And I think it's cool when bands come in and they do live performances and whatever. But there's two things. A, look, every time that there is a new development in music, not just country music, but any kind of music, the problem with that is then for the next 10 years, you're surrounded by people who mimic that in a really bad and irritating way. So, of course, Eddie Vedder begets Scott Stapp and a whole generation of guys who sound like sheep that are being sheared. And then Eddie Van Halen begets a whole bunch of guys who just try to fit 500 notes into a measure because they think it makes them look impressive. Sarah McLachlan has and to a lesser degree, Alanis Morissette, but largely Sarah McLachlan, has created an entire generation of women who think that it's an endearing trait to just sort of weirdly slide from one note to the next in the middle of a word. So that, like, you know, moon in June becomes moon in June, you know, which is a thing that doesn't sound good from anybody. With the possible exception of Sarah McLachlan, it's not like she created it, so it seemed interesting for like a minute and a half. Less so from the woman who was singing before. All I'm saying, that's all I'm saying. You got a lot of...
Your exact phrase was, I think she stopped a couple lessons short.
I'm just saying, There's a lot of time on the tour bus. Maybe a video or two would help. You know, stop at a music store. That's my only. And then Sarah was busy being swept away by how attractive one of the band members was. Because country guys, but country girls have always been attractive. Country guys, though, used to be, you could be ugly. Now they're all hot. The country guys all look. Have you? And this is a coincidence. But have you seen that band Emerson Drive? It's like a. It's like
no,
a country,
I've heard of them.
It's like a 4 or 3 member country boy band. But man, it's like they all came right off the cover of Tiger Beat magazine. I mean, it's like those Rascal Flatts guys are the same thing. Just like the best looking guys you've ever seen in your life. They just kind of happen to be country. You just stick a Dobro in one of their hands. There you go. You just give one of them like a bolo tie to wear, and bada, they're a country band. Tim Rowdy's working on the following stories for your edification today.
Yes, I gave Mark Foley a nude massage. He went skinny dipping with him as a child, admits a Catholic priest. Where is the rage? Americans remain clueless over new laws that allow you to disappear into a black bag without charges and the right to a fair trial. Keith Olbermann may very well be right. This is the beginning of the end. Scientists come closer to making us invisible. Please hurry.
And I need it by 2.
And the man lives after being stung by a stingray Steve Irwin style.
Fantastic. Steve Irwin was clearly a warning shot. I think we also have a story today about elephants attacking a whole village of people in India and killing them all. Grinding them into a fine sort of Indian paste. Yeah, so we have that. So nature continues to rise up against us today. All right, ladies and gentlemen. Well, what else? Oh, and then we have, Lisa Goddard's going to talk a little later with this Mark Foley thing. And we'll talk more about that. But where is it? Is it in Florida? It's somewhere, but there's somebody. And I heard some initial discussion with the priest today. It's all very unpleasant with this business. So.
Oh, he lives in Italy now.
Yes. With Roman Polanski.
Yes.
living on a villa somewhere with Anthony Hopkins.
Being fed grapes as he. And he lies in a sauna.
Lies in a sauna with palm fronds being waved over him by greased up 9-year-olds. So that's just an artist's rendition. I don't know that that's actually the case.
I think we know that is the case.
Let's just say from now on, the news department of CBS Radio says that is the case. He is, in fact, being fanned by greased-up 9-year-old boys while being fed grapes. And what is that word? Fetid? Not fetid like a bad stink. What is that word? F-E-T-E-D? Fated? Fetid? And that's another one of those words that I see in the book, but I've never said out loud until this very moment of my life. I believe it's when you are paid homage to, or you have your toes rubbed. Maybe a little bit of both.
It's possible.
All right. Oh, and people are driving, and it's raining, by the way. And I know that this should take everybody.
Where everybody is.
Everybody's stunned by now that it's October and there's water falling out of the sky. Let me just say this. It took me, and you all know where I live. I've been there by like 39. You know how long it took me to get from my house to First today? To the First Avenue, to the KUFO building? It took me 45 minutes. Because I can't bicycle. That's the other thing. See, this is, and if I do, I'm not saying that I'm cranky. But I am saying that I am just the teensiest bit out of sorts. Because A, the bloating last night. B, I had those 2 croissant sandwiches this morning. And any of that food, there's that film on the inside of your mouth. That's no walk in the park either. But then I couldn't bicycle for a week before the hair restoration, and I can't exercise for 2 weeks after. So my routine is interrupted, and B, I feel all fat. Anyway, so we got a bit. So I'm stuck taking, and that's the other thing. And because I don't have a parking pass because I was bicycle, so I'm throwing out like $11 every day to park. So it's
you can always take the bus.
Well, except I can't. I mean, I would, except I've got all of this crap every day that I have to do, like today. And I'm not complaining about, like, today. I got to leave here, and I got to go to the Aaron's bachelor thing. So that's coming up. But you can't take the bus to a bachelor party. I mean, you can take Jen Lane's bus to a bachelor party. One cannot take TriMet to a bachelor party. That's not an especially... That impresses the women even less than having a head with stitches on it. So just beware.
Well, that, you probably won't find a seat for the lap dance on the way home.
No. All right, ladies and gentlemen. It's 503-733-2970. When we come back, we will give away our pair of Al Gore tickets. We'll get that out of the way. Oh, and I got to tell you which 80s television star called us and asked to be on the show today. She's not asked to be on the show today, but she called today and asked to be on the show. So we'll talk about that. When we return, Tim looks legitimately curious. His eyebrows are actually arched and his mouth is open just a little bit as though he's on tenterhooks.
No, but people are starting to call us now. and are starting to send us emails.
That's true.
Requesting our presence and camaraderie and so forth.
That's right. Things are happening. All right, we'll do this. 503-733-2970. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the Rick Emerson Radio Show. We begin proper afterwards. I've only ever used the DVD segment of that once. My friends were so embittered they just vowed never to play again. It's okay. Hello, it's the Rick Emerson Radio Program. It's 503-733. This is that bed that feels like I have nausea. It's 503-733-2970. You can also email me like it's rick@rickemerson.com. Coming up 11:45, Lisa Goddard. The Hill will be here. By the way, did you notice that Baumgartner was implying yesterday? You heard him. He wouldn't come out and say this yesterday, but that he's got the most plum of all the assignments. Because I was trying to figure out, because there's nobody we can really ask about that. Like, I don't want to insult Lisa by saying, well, look, is it better to be in, you know, are you second in on the totem pole there? Because Baumgartner is leaving.
Maybe we should ask Ed. We have him today.
Yeah, but see, but I don't want to ask any of the other correspondents because I don't want them to, I don't want to have to be like, so, Ed, you're third in line. You know what I mean? There's the Atlanta Post, and then there's Manhattan, and then there's Washington, and there's L.A.
I'm going to go ask Scotty J. if Laura called back. So
he did.
She did?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, she did. We do not have McCarthy. Is that the thing? We have... Scotty is typing on the screen. I cannot hear the show as in here as smoke... Okay, well, apparently Scotty's not...
No, right. He can't hear it because they're using... his studio for those microphones.
That's fantastic. All right, great.
At least I think.
That's okay. It's not important. Why would he need to be able to hear the program? Don't worry about it. Hey, Scotty J. Hi, why don't you come on in here? Just so I can explain some things. All right. So what we're doing is we're going to take callers 5 and 6 here probably. Now 6 will just be a backup. But we're going to take callers 5 and 6 right now for the pop culture face-off. And we'll tell you how we're going to do that here in a second, Scotty. But I want you to be aware of that. So it's at 503-733-2970. It's 503-733-2970. So we'll take callers 5 and 6 and just feed them in. And what is it is? We have Lisa Goddard, and then later on we have...
Gary Baumgartner.
We have Baumgartner at 12:30, but we do not have McCarthy.
Right.
Because some of the thing happened.
Could be an opportunity for you. To get to stuff on the list.
All right, thank you.
There you go.
Yes, your editorial input is appreciated. All right, thank you.
Nice pause.
Thank you. Your radio consultation skills are invaluable. Thank you. All right, so we'll go ahead and we'll take callers 5 and 6 here for the Al Gore thing. All right. And just route it, just put them on, and we'll take caller 5, and then, of course, caller 5 kind of washes out, then we'll go to 6. All right. It's 503-733-2970. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show, Ryan from the engineering department across the hall. How are you, sir?
I'm doing good.
All right. But, before we even do this, I've had some questions about this. Do we have the engineering promo? Now, I'm going to play you something here. And we've had lately just a spate of comments from listeners that they believe that this is inaccurate. Now, I took great care in making sure that this was a technically accurate promo that I wrote here. But I want to have the engineering department weigh in on this. So, Sarah, if you can go ahead. This is a promo that we are currently playing on AM 970.
Fantasy of sound. Follow me now.
A note from the engineering department of AM 970. In order to obtain maximum sensory enjoyment from the auditory representations contained herein, it is necessary to minimize load resistance through the potentiometer in one's preamplification section. In other words, listen loudly. Thank you. This is AM 970 Solid State.
There's nothing incorrect about that, is there?
No, that's all correct.
That's right. In your face, whoever you were. I got like 3 guys telling me that I wrote that wrong. Somehow not accurate.
Oh, no. The potentiometer, it's just a variable resistor, really. And so it when you put something into an amplifier, it's amplified to the full extent automatically. The dial, actually, all it does is it cranks
it
down the amount of
down.
Stuff that gets through. Yeah.
So the default setting is that the volume is at 100%, that there is no resistance. So all you are doing when you turn the volume down is you are increasing the load resistance?
Correct.
And that is in the preamplification section.
Oh, yeah.
That's right! That's what I'm talking about. All right, bitches. All right, ladies.
Let me take away the croissant from this morning.
You know, why do you gotta hate? Why you gotta be a hater? Huh? Why is that? I'm just trying to have to keep a positive. It's not my fault! All I have at home is a giant bag of wasabi peas from Trader Joe's, okay?
Those would have been a very healthy breakfast.
I can't have wasabi peas for breakfast. I hate you all. Ladies and gentlemen, let's now welcome to the Rick Emerson Show. Is this, hello, Tim?
Yep.
Tim, how are you, brother?
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
We're rolling. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to do the Rick Emerson Pop Culture Face-Off. Now, we've determined that all the listeners are unworthy to compete against me, as are most of the staff members here at the radio station. And it would only result in shame and humiliation for the rest of your days, and it would bring all sorts of embarrassment upon your family name, and I don't wish for that to happen to you. So here's what's going to happen, Tim. You're going to stand there. And Ryan from the engineering department. Now, Ryan, I know you don't like to boast, but you feel confident in your pop culture trivia abilities.
Yeah, I tend to do all right. I tend to win relatively handily.
Now, this is how I always judge this. Have your friends or family created special rules for you when you play Trivial Pursuit with them?
Yeah.
All right, what are the special rules?
Normally, it's everyone against me, and then after that, it's also normally... they've disallowed the ability to steal a piece from someone else that are in all the DVD editions.
I was talking to, because Aaron the Geek is the same way. Our friend Mike Chase is this way. What my family did to me is that in order to get a piece, to get a wedge, that I had to answer the entire card. Which is especially difficult in the standard, the Genus edition, because it involves a sports question, which, of course, I got nothing. I got bupkis when it comes to sports. So, all right. So here's the thing, Tim. So Ryan and I will face off. Ryan will be playing for you. Should Ryan best me, and you want to do like what, best of seven?
Yeah.
Do best of seven. Should Ryan best me, sir, then you will win a pair of tickets to the Al Gore Global Warming presentation coming up Tuesday, the 24th, at the Theater of the Clouds. All right. Are you ready, Tim?
I'm ready.
All right. And by ready, I mean don't do anything.
I will sit here quietly.
sit quietly. Speak when spoken to. All right, Ryan, do you want to do a practice question?
No, I'm good.
Oh, all right. Okay. Sorry, player.
Are you know how this goes, right? You say your name.
So you buzz by saying your name.
Oh, yeah.
And you do not need to wait until the question is completed. And we won't futz around with any of the, if you miss it and the other person guesses and they say, we won't do this. It's the best of seven. You buzz in by saying your name. All right. You ready, Sarah?
Yes. I thought that the rules were that he only had to get one.
No, that's if I was playing against. That's if I'm playing against
some guy.
That
wouldn't be fair.
Okay.
No, that would not be. That would not be right.
All right, here we go. What news anchor did CNN briefly advertise as just a little sexy while playing a zipper sound?
Rick.
Yeah.
Lynn Russell.
Wrong.
I got no clue.
Paula Zahn.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, that was that's not truth in advertising. That's really a lot of disturbing. That's some bait and switch right there.
These aren't so much pop culture, they're just random trivia. Okay. What body part did Rosie O'Donnell almost lose due to infection?
Ryan? I'm going to guess the foot.
No!
I was going to say the tween. She almost lost her tween.
Does that mean it's just one, then?
Oh, it's just one. She's just a quarry. This is like yesterday when no one got anything. It was all this big buildup and no one got... Now, are we going to...
No, here's one.
Are we going to do seven answers or are we going to do...
Seven answers.
Seven questions. In
seven
other words...
Answers.
Okay.
All right, what could this... Here's a sports question, boys.
Oh, great. Fantastic. I'll just seed this one.
Which position in baseball is known as the hot corner?
Rick. Third base.
That's correct.
Yeah! That's right! Brooklyn!
Sorry.
BK what?
What number nomination finally brought Susan Lucci her first Emmy?
Oh, God.
Ryan? I believe that was the 11th.
No. 12th?
No.
I don't know.
19th.
It's like 100. No, that's impossible to know because it just went on forever and ever and ever. Yeah.
Sadly, I knew it.
To recap, that is me one, you nothing.
Yes.
Right. Okay. What actor is known for sporting a mohawk and wearing copious amounts of jewelry?
Oh, Ryan.
Rick.
You got it.
Okay. Mr. T.
That's correct.
Oh, all right.
Peter the Fool for a tie.
I had to filter it through because my first response was Gary Oldman.
Yeah.
Right, shut your mouth, Tim.
Okay. What weapon does Marge Simpson wield in the 1989 Simpsons arcade game?
Ryan. Frying pan?
No.
Oh.
Rolling pin.
No.
It's a vacuum cleaner.
Chainsaw.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a vacuum cleaner.
He knew it.
Oh,
so he should get the point.
He shouldn't get that. He doesn't get the point.
You need to play
the game. No.
You can only play that game at the... At the bowling alley anyway, so...
Yeah, no, and every time they have it at the 7-Eleven of my house, but the left flipper's busted, so I eschew that game. All right, so we're tied. Tied at one. Boy, this is hard. All right, it's like Sisyphus here. Okay.
Let's see. What British comedian's show did Frasier's Jane Leaves act in before she came to America?
Rick, are you being served?
No.
That was a
I don't know.
Stone guess is what that was.
I don't like the limeys.
Stupid Brits. I don't like foreign things.
They're not like us.
I like the Vita.
It's called Benny Hill.
Benny. She was on Benny Hill?
The Benny Hill show or a show called Benny Hills?
It just said Benny Hills.
Is that like...
Apostrophe.
Oh, then it was Benny Hill's show.
Oh, okay. I thought that was like Benny Hill's like Rolling Rock Estates or something. Where do you live? I live in Benny Hills. That's a skit. Some hack take that. Do that right now. Where do you live? Benny Hills. And it's just like a bunch of old guys in Buffy.
Everywhere.
All right. This is a good one.
Okay.
What?
Hi, still.
What three major film releases did Tom Cruise and Nicole Kidman star in together?
Far and Away. Eyes Wide Shut.
You better answer it. I got it.
Five,
come on.
Four, three, two, one.
I don't know.
Days of Thunder.
Days of Thunder.
She's in Days of Thunder? I don't remember that. Okay, you don't get the point, though.
Why? He completed it.
I answered two-thirds of the
question. It's true. We said we can't steal points.
Yeah.
It's okay.
I feel shame, though. Oh, God. All right.
You should let me steal the points, because I've gotten two of them so far.
You know, how are we to know that, my friend? Now we have only your word. You're clearly unreliable.
I said vacuum cleaner and Days of Thunder.
Do you realize, this? At the rate we're going, this contest is going to have to be in like five parts, like a Rush song, throughout the day.
Should we just take a break now, since Lisa got her?
Well, let's do one more, and then... Are you doing anything the rest of the day? could you come back?
Yeah, I could.
Why don't we pause here then? You know, we'll pause that because we got Lisa Goddard here. Let's for grins, let's bring Lisa Goddard on to see if she can get one.
Okay.
Do you want to do that? And Ryan, stick around, but then we'll continue this later. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show. Live from the Hill. Fashionably attired and wielding a massive intellect, Lisa Goddard from CNN. How are you? Lisa Goddard.
Is up. What's up?
Hello. Hello. How are you? All right. One little bit of business. Hang on just a second. Hey, Tim?
Yep.
I'm going to put you back on hold. We'll rejoin you later on as we do phase two of this trivia competition.
Okay.
All right. Hang on. Don't go anywhere. I'm going to put you on hold.
Hi, Lisa. How
are things? How's life?
Good, crazy, good.
Yeah, it's a little crazy here, too. We'll talk about our good friend Mark Foley. And by good friend, I mean Cretin, who is a constant giver of grist to the Rick Emerson Entertainment Mill. But before we do that, we will resume this later on our end, but we're in the midst of this massive Trivial Pursuit pop culture competition.
Nice.
But we speculated that you might be good at this, so there's nothing riding on this, but we thought we would toss out a question
for the
pop culture Trivia Pursuit. Just see if you can get it.
All right. What's the full name of the famous Amos cookie creator?
The famous Amos creator?
I
don't know.
I believe it is Amos P. Sloan.
You are correct.
Yeah!
Just kidding. You were wrong.
Why did you do that?
It was Wally Amos.
Oh,
Amos is an unfortunate last name.
That guy, famous Amos, though, those are great cookies. And really, I'm saying, if you only have a dollar and there's a vending machine, that is your best cookie value right there. Your best cookie bargain is the famous Amos.
But I have to say, I wasn't even meaning to trick you. I'm just so used to you being right.
Yeah!
Like, honestly, but you've been so wrong today. That was like an automatic response.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Good comeback. That's solid.
Right. All right.
Should we do another one?
We should probably talk about actual... Lisa works for CNN, and we're making her answer famous Amos questions.
That's too smooth.
There you go. Thank you. That's right. So I'll tell you what. Ryan, how about I come track you down later? We'll do phase two of this, since you and I are tied at one. This is like Normandy. This is like a long slog with very slow gains.
Yeah.
All right. All right, my friend. We will meet again.
All right.
All right. There you go. Lisa Goddard, Ryan doesn't have two. He only has one. The Tom Cruise question doesn't count because, no, I answered two-thirds of that, Scotty. Oh, I'm shunning you. You're dead to me. All right, Lisa Goddard, I was going to say it's a crazy week for you, but it's not going to get any better, is it? I mean, this is a crazy day in a crazy week heading into, what's going to be, very hectic. What, we're 26? How many days out from the election are we?
Oh, you had to ask me that one, the math one. I know it was, it's going to be, 21 minus, 1-2, so it's 19?
But, I mean, we're coming up on it, and it's just, and everything is just, the wheels are getting ready to fall off the wagon on one side of the aisle.
I've actually got a story for you today.
Fantastic.
You'll be the first ones to hear.
All right, hold on, wait, let me get a little what's happening at the... All right, there you go.
Excellent. I think this is going to go on to CNN.com tomorrow, but who knows? It's all a big process with them. But basically, I spent the last couple of days doing research, you know, because we're all talking about all these investigations, and I wanted to figure out how many people in Congress are actually under investigation or under some kind of scrutiny right now. Do you want to throw out any numbers?
Oh, God, I can't. This is Congress. This is both houses?
Both houses. You're probably going to guess high, but yeah, yeah.
How many people in both houses of Congress collectively are currently under investigation? I mean, I don't know.
The scrutiny, right? Some kind of...
75.
How many?
75.
Whew. All right. Sarah? Where's she gone?
I'll go 79.
Oh, I see. This is...
I mean, it's 34.
30? Well, it's still... I mean,
that's a lot.
That's still like 5... What is that? 5% almost?
Yeah, it's right about 5%. And about 10 or 15 of those are actually under federal investigation.
Oh, that is both. See, I mean, there's two parts to me, and I really do have, it's like a Charlotte light and dark kind of thing with me, where there's the part of me that is really, that is kind of the big, wide-eyed, stupid idealist. It just finds that horrifying and sad. And then, of course, there's just the jaded, nihilistic Malcolm McLaren part of me that just, you know, that A, is not surprised by it, and B, just finds that giddily amusing in some sort of a way. So I don't understand.
Yeah.
Is that, let me ask you this. Do you suppose that that's higher than the population as a whole, percentage-wise?
Really good question. Exactly. Well, see, the deal is that the congressmen are richer than the population as a whole, and they're more powerful than the population on the whole. So they have different kinds of temptations. You know, we might fudge our taxes, or we might, you know, lie to a friend about something.
Right.
You know, those are the kinds of things I think where most people get into gray moral areas. But with Congress, we're talking about, oh, sending tens of millions of dollars in contracts to your brother's company.
Yeah. So you're right. So with greater power and responsibility comes the proportionally larger series of crimes that one might be involved in. I can't imagine that 5% of the general populace in this country is currently under federal investigation. So.
No, I don't think. I think let's hope not, because the government would just be way too large, and it'd be very frightening. But the interesting thing about this, you know, talked to a bunch of experts after I went through all this and put it all together, and they are, people say this is a huge amount of people, current congressmen, to be under scrutiny. And it's not just the number, but it's the fact that this isn't just one scandal. Sometimes you'll get, you know, like AbScam, you'll get one big scandal that will, you know, knock out a whole bunch of, you know, 12 pins in a row here.
Sure.
In Congress. But this is almost each one of these 34 cases is unique and different. And these are all different kinds of bribing, real estate deals, sketchy things with people's family members being lobbyists, a lot of different issues. And it does feel like a bit of pervasive privilege that people have gotten used to up here in Congress.
Well, and I know this makes me sound like a nerd with no life, but I was actually talking about term limits yesterday with somebody. We were talking, and I was saying that of all of the sort of the big issues, like the big philosophical political issues, and I just tell you, by the way, what kind of an individual you're dealing with. That's what I do in my free time, is I sit and I talk about term limits with people. But it's because I'm gripping. Of all the big sort of issues, the term limits are the ones that I really honestly have always been really internally divided on. Even within my own head, I can never really figure out how I feel about that, because there is this sort of brief, glib answer, which is to say, well, we have term limits. They're called elections. And the idea that Americans should be able to vote for whoever they want, even if they want to put the same guy in for like 100 years in a row. By the same token, you do realize, and this sort of indicates, I'm not saying that all these guys under federal investigation are guilty, but we kind of know they are. And so the system does seem sort of so inexorably broken from within that it just is like, once you get in there, man, you're like a tick lodged underneath your skin after a Montana vacation. You know, you got to be burned out of there.
It's even hard, even if you want to get out. It's got that sort of scary. You know, Mark Foley wanted to get out, earn a lot of money as a lobbyist, and reportedly they wouldn't let him go because it's such a tight election year. The irony of that. No, you're right. It really, and that's one of the reasons that some of these experts I talked to were saying that they think there's so many more problems now, because there are so many incumbents that just stay forever. And so they get more and more used to trying to bend or break the rules. And, you know, it's sort of, I kind of describe it as if, you know, you put your hand in a hot bathtub full of water. It's hot when you put it in there, but after a while, it doesn't feel so hot.
After a while, the sleaze feels sort of comforting.
Right. And so I think that's the kind of deal here, is folks have gotten used to some very sketchy practices that for the average person don't smell right. But up here, it's become Common Core.
I would sort of say that our equivalent to that is that we have sort of a recurrent feature on this program called Ways in Which CBS Radio Is Not Like Wherever You Work. And it is the fact that, for example, on, I would say, any given Friday at around 1 p.m., there's a woman from the office who just starts wandering from room to room and from studio to studio taking drink orders. And then she comes back later with, you know, like your Cosmopolitan or whatever it is you've ordered. So I realize if you work at a bank, you know, that's not necessarily the course of business. So it's everybody's, the context is everything. Here's a question I have, actually, sort of related to this, something I've always wondered. One of those things you always hear about, and I never know whether it's true or not, is it true, speaking of congresspeople being under federal investigation, that as long as you are a congressperson, there are certain laws that you are just exempt from as long as you're in office? You always hear that a congressperson, like if he's speeding or jaywalking on the way to a congressional session, like can't be ticketed, that they are immune from that.
Yeah, that's right. If you are on the way to a vote, you can claim exemption. And in fact, I believe Patrick Kennedy, when he was pulled over, or actually after he hit that cement barricade earlier this year, apparently at one point he told police he was on his way to a vote, and so somehow he thought maybe he'd get immunity possible, or maybe he really did think he was on the way to a vote. It's hard to say. but that's true. And they also get, no matter what happens to them, no matter what they're convicted of, with just a couple of exceptions, they get their pension, so they can be convicted, I believe, of murder and still get their congressional pension. But if they're convicted of espionage or treason, then they would not get their pension. But that's it. Otherwise, they're sitting pretty with the tax.
Well, and we noted with the passing of Jerry Stutz, too, that espionage, treason, or being gay.
Yes.
So there you go. So it's, you know, as long as we've got our priorities in order in this fading republic of ours. Oh, God. Well, as a side note, as a way to sort of wrap all this up, speaking of, you can do anything up to and including murder and to get your pension or whatever, that brings us to Mark Foley.
Right.
So what the latest thing is now, that what we all, I mean, it's so funny that I actually gave the Catholic Church the benefit of the doubt for once. I'm like, oh, that he probably wasn't molested by a priest. He's just saying this to get out of hot water. It shows what I get for trying to give the benefit of to give the Church of Rome any sort of benefit, because now the priest is cop to it, right? They're having...
This changes every minute. No. Oh, now the priest, actually, there's an interview with the priest where he says, it's very confusing, this priest, he's in Malta, and his name is, I think, Marchicha, and I'm still working on that pronunciation, but he has interviewed with CNN, and he's also talked to others. With CNN, he said some kind of strange things, saying, well, everything's sexual to some degree, you know, but I'm sorry that he thinks I molested him, I may have touched him, but there certainly was nothing... more. But then to another outlet, he said that they were just friends, that sure, they did go swimming naked together, but he was asked if it was sexual, and the priest said no.
Well, the story...
Very confusing.
Oh, and I feel like Ted Koppel having to talk about Monica Lewinsky's dress here and blanching visibly at the prospect of doing so, but I swear to God, we had a story this morning wherein the priest was talking about some sort of nude massaging of some kind or other. And
there was nude touching, apparently, of some sort. Oops, my little alarm. Sorry.
All right. Well, in any event, well, I mean, I get in the grand scheme of things, this is... As Scott Turow once wrote on a novel, this is just a big black wake that's going to take everybody down with it, so I suppose it doesn't really matter, the details. But it is puzzling how, whether this is either intentional or not, but the muddying of the waters in terms of who did what happened, what didn't happen, you wonder how much of that obfuscation is very intentional. But
Right. So, yeah. Intention. So, but I'm leaving for the weekend, so you guys have a great weekend.
You as well, and we will talk to you sometime next week. Lisa Goddard, enjoy your time off.
Okay, you guys.
All right, there you go. Lisa Goddard, ladies and gentlemen, CNN radio correspondent on the Hill. Fantastic. I dig that chick. All right. It's 503-733-2970. It's the Rick Emerson radio program around the corner. Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth. Don't go anywhere. We are back after this.